Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cloud Cover Show. This is Haixi. Some of you may be wondering where Chris is. If you want to find out, just ask on Twitter, what did you do this time, Chris? But he's missing a great show today. This is the second episode of our Cloud Service Fabric series. So in the first episode, you've seen the introduction of Service Fabric. And in the coming episode, we will talk about Service Fabric on Linux. But this episode, we'll talk about Service Fabric with containers. So I'm very glad to be joined by two Service Fabric experts, Jeff and Rajit, today.
Hello.
To tell us all about containers. So I'll just turn it over to you guys, introduce yourself, and get started.
All right, very good. So I'm Jeffrey Richter. I'm a software engineer on the Service Fabric team.
I'm Rajit. I'm a software engineer on Service Fabric team.
Okay.
I primarily work on containers.
All right. And so I'll start off with a kind of setting the stage a little bit. So in this world where people are moving towards microservices, I thought it would be good to start with kind of a good idea as to what microservices are to kind of couch where we're going, and then where we see the integration between services and containers. So a service is typically some piece of code that's designed to solve a domain-specific problem. And it's usually built by some small team using some specific technology stack, like .NET or Java, JavaScript, something like that. And then those technology stacks can be versioned at will, and the service that you're running in it can also be versioned at will. And then these services, they expose features to callers using some well-defined API contract, usually some kind of HTTP, you know, client-server request going on there. And a lot of times when people are building these services, they want to build them so that should a dependent service fails, that the service gracefully recovers. And maybe it offers some features to the user, but slightly hampered set of features. Maybe the user, for example, can go shop for things and put things in their shopping cart, but if the payment service is down, they can't check out right now. And the services can be upgraded independently of the calling services is also quite common. And when you take a big service, which a lot of times people refer to them today as a monolith, and they divide it up into these smaller services, that is often referred to as being a microservices architecture. Right? So that's when you're building microservices, when you're taking this monolith and you're splitting it down to get these features that I just mentioned on this slide. Okay, so now once you have these various services, you want to go and deploy them into a cluster of machines so that they can go and communicate with each other. And what this slide shows is the various ways that you can deploy them. Obviously, you could create a separate PC for each service. And with a PC, it's a very isolated environment where that PC is only running that one service, and so there can't be any interference on that PC from any other services that you might be dependent upon. And on a PC, your hardware is not shared, your kernel is not shared, and other system resources like the file system are also not shared. But PCs are expensive, and a lot of times your service isn't using all of the resources of the PC, like the memory and the network bandwidth and the CPU utilization. So what people have done in the past, more recently, is they've used virtual machines, and they'll create a bunch of VMs on the PC, in which case it's a lighter weight, and you have different services running in different VMs. They're sharing the same hardware now, but you're not still not sharing the kernel, and you're not sharing system resources. If we go to the far right of the spectrum here, we have processes, which is what Service Fabric has been using since its general availability earlier this year, where we would run services each in their own process. Now that's incredibly lightweight, and we can pack a lot of different processes or services into a single machine because they're sharing all the same hardware, they're sharing all the kernel, they're sharing all the system resources, and that's what makes it so efficient. But you lose a lot of isolation. One process that steals all the CPU utilization will take it away from other processes that are running on the machine. So what's being introduced now in the world are containers. And containers kind of is a sweet spot between a VM, so they're lighter weight than a VM, and they're a little bit heavier weight than processes. With a container, you get the hardware still being shared. You get the kernel still being shared, although if you use Windows Hyper-V containers, the kernel is not shared. And then the system resources are not shared. So that's what gives you a lot of isolation in terms of system resources. Which is good for setting resource governance on the containers and keeping services more isolated from one another. Right, so that's the direction that we're heading in, and that's what this support, this container support, is what we're adding to Service Fabric.
Okay, so going back to that slide, I have a question regarding a nano server. So okay. NanoServer is coming to the Windows Server family. Where do you see that? I mean, to me, NanoServer is kind of interesting. It's kind of a between virtual machine and the container, or it's more like a virtual machine or more like a container in your view?
Well, NanoServer is a full operating system. Yeah. You know, so it is its own kernel, right? It is a kernel.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about it is that it's a relatively small kernel compared to other versions of Windows that have shipped in the past. Mm-hmm. And because it's smaller, it uses less resources, and therefore you can have more containers with NanoServer on the machine mm-hmm. than you could have containers running, let's say, Windows Server Core mm-hmm. running on a machine.
So from Service Fabric's perspective, you view NanoServer as one option of the VMs?
Yeah, we will deploy, Service Fabric will deploy containers, mm-hmm. and then the contents of the container will be determined by the developer.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay. So really, what is a container? Each container should hold a single service inside it with a version set of dependencies. Dependencies are things like components, runtimes, DLLs, and so on. And then multiple containers can run side by side, each in its own isolated environment, on the same PC or on the same virtual machine. So I have an animated slide to make this a little clearer. Here I show a container. Let's just call this container Application A, and it's version 1 of Application A. And so it might have App A, which is an executable, and that could be V1 of the executable, but it links to version 2 of some library called L, and then that all runs on top of some runtime, like the .NET Common Language runtime, for example, or a Java VM, mm-hmm. and that happens to be version 5 in this case. So we'll create this container, we'll load it up with these version set of dependencies on it, and then we can go and take this container and we can deploy it into a PC or virtual machine, and it's an isolated boundary and everything runs just fine. Mm-hmm. In addition, we could have another container that we go and put application B into, and maybe this is version 3 of that. So it has the app B executable version 3, then it has some library L, which is the same library as I showed before, but maybe application B needs version 3, whereas application A needed version 2. Mm-hmm. And then this container maybe also needs some other library, we'll call it M, version 2, and maybe it's using the same runtime, but it happens to be version 7 of that runtime. Yeah. And in fact, we have another version of application A. This could be version 2 of it with its version set of dependencies as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have these three different containers all configured exactly as we want them. Mm-hmm. And then if we want to, we could then deploy them all to a single PC or virtual machine, mm-hmm. and they're all isolated from one another. And that's really what containers give us. Yeah. A lot of times, like in .NET world, these runtimes are all system-wide resources. And so when you install a certain version of .NET on a machine, all applications have to use that same version of .NET. Mm. But with containers, we don't have to do that anymore. We can now have specific versions running side by side on the same machine. That's the beauty of it. Okay. Now, the way that this will work is that when Service Fabric, you create your service manifest, and Rajit will walk through this more with a demo very soon, then you'll create in the service manifest what container you want deployed at runtime, and then Service Fabric can go and get that container running on the various machines that are part of your cluster. And so what I show on this picture here is you have some operating system in the middle, which could be running Linux or possibly Windows. It has the Docker daemon installed on it, and it also has a local repository that's listening on some ports. And then normally to run a container, you would use a Docker client and say something like Docker run app A version 1. Mm-hmm. But then you're going to put this information into the service manifest, and then Service Fabric will in effect be doing the equivalent of this. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, we're going to go and talk to the Docker daemon on the machine where we want the container running. The Docker daemon is then going to look in the local repository to see if there's a container called app A version 1. Mm-hmm. If it's not there, then the daemon's going to go to some image repository. It's going to find the thing that you're looking for, in this case app A version 1, download it from the repository and install it into the local repository. And now that it's sitting on the local machine, it will go and start at running, and now the container with all its XEs and DLLs and runtimes is this isolated unit running on top of this mm-hmm. VM or PC.
All right. Okay. So a couple of questions.
Sure.
So first, to run Docker containers on a Service Fabric cluster, we assume you already have the Docker engine installed on those nodes.
Right? Yes.
Correct. So the cluster doesn't manage the daemon for you.
No. Correct.
Okay. So the second is that the Docker, do we host so the container process to Service Fabric is a guest application? Do we just host it as a regular guest application in
the container, the Docker daemon?
Yes.
The Docker daemon or the?
Not the Docker daemon, but the container instance.
The container instance is actually a managed entity in Service Fabric.
Okay.
So we'll manage the container when it comes up. So it is actually a managed entity. So mm-hmm. we'll monitor the lifetime. We'll take care of the whole lifecycle management of it.
Oh, okay.
I think you're asking, is it very similar to, instead of a guest executable, mm-hmm. is it a guest container?
Okay.
I think that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Right?
It's both.
And it can be that. So in fact, I even address that on the very next slide.
All right.
So Service Fabric can deploy standalone applications, XEs and DLLs, which is what it's been doing since its general availability.
Yeah.
But now we're adding the feature where it can also deploy containers. Mm-hmm. And as part of your application manifest, you can have some services that are deployed as standalone applications, where it's just XEs and DLLs, and you can also have some services that are deployed as containers. And it's your choice. So you choose whichever works best for you in your environment, and we just support them all. And so Service Fabric, what we're adding is the support for Linux, Docker, and Windows containers. You'll be able to create stateless guest containers that do not have the Service Fabric runtime installed in the container. Mm-hmm. So that's very similar to our guest executable model today,
okay. But
it's really guest containers where you have the complete version set of dependencies embedded inside that container. We will also support stateless and stateful containers that do have the service runtime installed mm-hmm. inside the container. And then, as with anything with Service Fabric, you're going to get all the standard cluster management, resource scheduling capabilities with containers, just like you do for the standalone applications.
Okay. So for the stateless guest containers, essentially you can just bring in any Docker containers from Docker Hub and host it on Service Fabric.
Correct.
And for the stateless stateful containers, so we have a Service Fabric runtime installed on the Docker image itself. How does the code call into that runtime? Is there a REST API or is there some programming interface to connect to that runtime? Let's say if I want to do a health report within the container.
Yes.
How do I talk to that runtime?
So the runtime is available inside the container image itself. So there are two ways you can do it. Either pack the runtime as part of the image.
Okay.
So when your EXE comes up, it knows how to load the runtime and then it can use that to connect back to Fabric and report its health.
Okay.
Or the other way is we mount the runtime as a volume into the container as well, so it can use the one from the host.
Oh, you can mount the runtime as a volume.
Yeah.
So in that case, you are sharing the same runtime as on the host?
Correct.
Oh,
you can do that, or you can, if you want a truly immutable image, you have the runtime baked into the image.
Okay, cool.
Okay, well, that's it for me and the slides. We'll now turn it over to the demo and Rajeev.
That's the exciting part. We'll see the light.
Thanks.
Can we switch to the other computer? Oh, we're already there.
So like Jeffrey mentioned in his slides, Service Fabric supports the stateless guest containers mm-hmm. along with stateless and stateful containers that contain the runtime. So we can start off with the stateless guest container. For the demo app, I have an app that contains two services, a front-end service and a back-end service. So we'll take a look at the service manifest for the back-end service. So if you're familiar with the Service Fabric application model, this is where the EXE host goes, which specifies the executable mm-hmm. that needs to be launched to place the replica or the service instead. Instead, what we have here is a container host element, which specifies the image that needs to be used to stand up the container. Mm-hmm. You can specify the image name and additional commands that you want to run inside the container. Now, if you're just interested in container orchestration, that's activating, deactivating, lifecycle management, this is all you need to do, mm-hmm. and Service Fabric will take care of it. But for this app, we are doing something a little bit more. So I have an additional thing here, which is the endpoint. Mm-hmm. What this does is basically, this will let Service Fabric know that this container service has an endpoint, and it can publish this endpoint to naming service on behalf of the service.
Okay.
So other services running in this cluster can discover this one.
Awesome.
So this is my backend service. My frontend service is also a containerized app where I have the same thing like a container host with the image name. This mm-hmm. is my frontend service image name. In addition, I have environment variables, which specify the HTTP gateway, that's run, the port for the HTTP gateway on this cluster, and the backend service that it needs to talk to. So using this information, it can actually talk to gateway and say, give me the address of the backend service, and then from there, talk to the backend service and respond back to the client.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because I want my app to be deployed to different clusters or multiple instances, I have kept them as environment variables that I can change per deployment.
Cool.
So that's about it. In terms of deploying, I'll go ahead and deploy it to Windows Server cluster that's running on Azure, that's running Windows Server 2016 Technical Preview 5 build. Mm-hmm.
So the Docker images you're using are Windows?
Correct. DNA it's image. Windows Server, yeah. So this is my Windows cluster. I have my Windows nodes here. I just provisioned the app here. So just to show you this exact thing that we spoke about, here's the manifest whenever it comes up.
It's a very simple manifest.
Yeah. Yeah, here's the manifest.
There it is.
Yeah, so it has the backend, and it's placed on node VM1. Mm-hmm. And here is my front end that's placed on VM2. So if you see here, we have gone ahead and published the endpoint address of the backend service now here. So front end service can actually just directly contact this via naming, get the endpoint address, and talk to this service.
Okay.
And the front end service is actually running on port 80, which is a load balanced endpoint. So I can actually directly hit the load balancer and get that content.
Woohoo!
There so it go. Just says the backend is running on VM1, which is what we saw here.
Yeah, that's a Windows container running on a Service Fabric cluster.
Correct.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so if you have VM1 0, we can just go ahead and say, just to show failover, we can say go ahead and say deactivate this node. And we'll see that this guy will fail over to another node. Just like any other service, it will fail over to another node. Mm-hmm. Hopefully soon.
Yeah, it takes a few seconds for that to happen.
Mm-hmm. So I got a question, though. So if we have multiple container instances running on the same host, do they have their separate IP addresses, or they share the same IP from the node?
So they can share the same IP on the node, and they can have different NAT ports. Okay. So we do NAT DNAT. So they will get a different port on the host, and from there it's mapped to the port container port.
Okay. So let's say I define endpoint. Let's say listening on port 80. So internally it will be assigned a random port.
So that's an interesting point. So if you look at the manifest here, for the backend. For the backend service, I didn't assign a port at all. So if you see in the endpoint section, I did not assign a port. So what this does is tell Service Fabric, assign any port from your application port range and just publish it so that others can discover it.
Okay. But inside the container, my service might be expecting
It can listen on any port it desires.
Okay.
Because it's its own internal IP, so it doesn't really matter. It doesn't conflict.
Okay.
So now that it has failed over, we can try and see if it returns a different, yeah, you see, it returns the backend node name now, which has changed.
Awesome.
So we can do other stuff like scale out the front end.
As long. The hard part's copy and paste. Right?
So now you'll see that we started scaling out the front end here. Now they're going to all the other nodes.
Awesome.
So that's a stateless guest container, which doesn't include the runtime. So
for our audience to do this, can they do this now, or is it still in the private preview?
So we'll have a private preview for it coming soon.
OK. So you can't try this at home yet?
You can't try it at home as yet.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. But it's coming soon.
Yeah, it's coming soon. Exactly. For the second demo, I have a stateful app that's running on Linux cluster that's using Service Fabric runtime. Mm-hmm. So it's a Visual Objects demo that we have shown many times before.
Awesome.
Yeah. So to show that Service Fabric can support both containers and normal stateless services, here I'm using two services. The backend is actually a stateful service that's containerized, and the front end is a normal stateless service. So this is my actor service, which is a stateful backend service, and web service, which is a stateless Java service. In the service manifest, you can see here that for the actor, I'm pointing to a image that needs to be used. And for front end, it's just a code package as a sample, which is a Java web server. Mm-hmm. So I can go.
So in the same application, you can do mix match.
Exactly.
You can have containers, have non-container applications.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can concentrate on the work you want to do, and there is an image available for stuff that you don't really want to develop. You can just pull it from a repository.
Awesome.
So here I have a Linux cluster also running on Azure, which has three nodes. And as deployment goes through, we'll see here.
So you just mentioned the backend is actually a stateful container.
Yes.
Where's the state saved? Is it a mounted drive? Or?
Exactly. So okay. What we do is, like in Service Fabric, we assign a work folder for each application.
Okay.
We take that work folder and mount it inside the guest.
Okay.
And
right.
So when your container goes away, the volume is still there. As long as your application is in Service Fabric, we'll keep the work around.
I see.
And so we'll keep mounting it back to your container so that you have all the state available.
Cool. So you have the same state replication across the
exactly.
Node.
Exactly. Yeah. So okay. I'll show it to you here. So here's a visual objects demo. Here's my actor service. It has primary and two secondaries, and the state is being replicated. And it's ready. I think I can hit the endpoint. There you go.
Awesome.
There it is.
Stateful container. Also, Service Fabric. That's awesome.
Yeah. So you can do the same thing, upgrades everything as a normal app, Service Fabric app that you can.
Cool.
That's the demo.
Okay.
All right. I guess when you do the rolling upgrades,
yeah.
So basically in your application manifest, you will specify a new image version.
Correct.
Then the Docker will handle to pull down the new images and.
Yeah, we'll do the we'll still do the match comparison to make sure that there is something has changed and there's a new image specified. Mm-hmm. So we know that this particular code package needs to be reactivated. Mm-hmm. So we'll then talk to Docker, download the new image, and then reactivate the container.
Okay. I guess the other thing I want to ask is that for the containers, you have this resource constraint you can put on.
Correct.
Top,
right? So that's.
So you're going to show us something like that?
So that's already supported today.
Okay.
I haven't put it in the demo. So what you can do is in the application manifest, there are a couple of things you can do. First is here, you can go ahead and say my resource governance policy. And say what's it's a bunch of things we support, like what block IO weight do you want? What's the CPU percentage you want for this container? Maximum I/O, memory reservation, all mm-hmm. those things you can specify as a resource governance policy per container.
Cool.
And in addition, say I want to say 500 here. In addition, what you can do is here for your per image, if you have your own private repository mm-hmm. that it's not on Docker Hub, and you want to specify credentials here, you can specify the credentials for the repository here.
So I can point to a different trust registry.
Correct. And then here you can specify the user account name. Password. And whether the password is encrypted or not, you can encrypt the password using Service Fabric APIs, mm-hmm. so that it's only decrypted at runtime by Service Fabric.
Okay, I see. So we don't have such policies for the process-based services yet.
Yes.
So in the future, do you see we are bringing that to those services?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So we'll have resource limits for standard EXEs as well through job objects.
All right. That's awesome. So any more demos you're going to show?
These were the two demos we had.
Okay, cool. That was quick and easy. So if people have, as we know, this thing is still in private preview.
So
is there a timeline you can talk about, or is this too early?
Yeah, timelines, I think Mani will talk in the presentation, the next presentation
for
the Linux preview.
Cool.
For Windows preview also, we'll talk about it later.
Okay, cool. So what if people have some questions or feedbacks? Are there some email addresses or Twitter handles they can reach out to you guys?
We can post those.
Yeah, all right.
We can post those.
Actually, if you do this, we'll do the magic. We'll show the Twitter handle on the screen.
Very good. Yeah.
You have to say it. You have to say
it. It's at Jeff Richter.
All right.
Good. The Twitter handle.
I don't have a Twitter handle.
Right.
Yes. Fair enough.
Very good.
All right. Thank you guys very much. This is very exciting. I mean, Service Fabric as a Microsoft PaaS platform, people has this assumption that it's Windows only, it's only work with .NET stuff. But we've showed that it actually runs on Windows and Linux. You can deploy it anywhere. And we have integration with Docker containers. And in the last episode, we will see how Service Fabric runs on Linux and natively support Java workloads as well. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. All right.